Welcome to Podcast 2187. Enjoy the show. And don't forget to submit your blaster for inspection.
So this is Podcast 2187, and I thank you all for listening to it. One thing I do want to say immediately right off the bat, this is a bit more of a personal note, but I do have some coworkers where I work who occasionally pull this up and try to listen to it. And just randomly bring it up from time to time. So I want to say right off the bat, if you're listening to this right now, I might even be hearing myself, especially if this is the person across the hall, you know who you are. Stop listening before I have to walk over and turn it off myself. So just quick note, that is an inside note for my coworkers in case they're listening. So that's all, we're done. Back to normal episode. Mark, you're here as always, so how are you doing?
What the hell just happened?
What just happened was a bit of a, again, like a reference to some people I know.
you want me to come over there?
I'm trying to make my 9-to-5 a little bit easier before we get to this part.
Okay. I'm fine, thank you. Thanks for asking.
Sure. Anytime that you want somebody to ask you how you're doing, let me know. I'll do it for you.
Okay, I'll just text you, and then you can call me.
Sure, yeah, that works. So, interesting kind of episode tonight, a little bit different from normal, just because we have some things that we'll be discussing, as always, of course, if we're actually a podcast. But last week I had said that we would be talking about the trailer with some context based off of the leaks and story that we have, which we will do a little bit of that. Have some other things to be thrown in here and there. And the Star Wars Twitter account said today that there will be a trailer for The Mandalorian coming out tonight. And that's not out yet as of the time that we are recording this. So we will be keeping an eye out for that. And if it gets released while we're having this recording, then maybe we'll take a quick look at that and have some quick discussions if it's out soon enough. So we're not really going to be giving thoughts about the trailer per se, because we already did that last time. But just based off of what we know from the leaks and the context and the story of this movie, I don't want to go through it again scene by scene or shot by shot or anything. But Mark, what were you surprised by, disappointed with, or whatever, relating to the story? Like just for example, I'll say one thing that I was kind of surprised by is the last shot of Rey. And there's no spoilers in there, of course. I mean, it's just a shot of Rey. And that's why I think they're able to use it. But typically in J.J. Abrams' trailers, I've gotten the impression in the past he really uses shots and clips from the first like quarter of the movie, typically. So it was just interesting that the main shot at the end of this trailer is from toward the end of the movie. And if nobody has been paying attention to it, just so you're aware, the spoilers alert, you know, the last shot of Rey where she's looking at the camera and kind of has some interesting expression on her face, that's basically the moment where it seems that she's realizing that Ben has shown up to help her with her fight against the Emperor. So that's just one example of what I mean by something I was surprised that they showed, just because, again, there's no spoiler there, but it typically isn't the type of thing I would expect him to put in there just based off of what the context actually is. So Mark, what were you surprised that you got to see in this trailer, since we know what's going on?
I honestly wasn't surprised at anything. I think in a lot of ways, it was definitely a money shot trailer. So some of the money shots I'm surprised at were the sort of the, I guess they're calling it the D-Day battle, or the giant sort of ground battle where they're going along the Star Destroyers and whatnot.
Yeah, with the I can't remember what they're called, but the space horses, basically.
Yeah, I'm not surprised at what we saw. I'm more surprised at what we didn't see. So I guess that's my, there's just so much that's going to be in this movie. If the spoilers are remotely accurate, and it sure seems like they are,
yeah.
There's just a bunch of stuff in this movie. So it really seems hard to probably cherry pick or pick some key moments, because it seems like there's going to be a ton of them. The movie almost feels like a key moment movie.
Yeah, that's a good point. I do also, I kind of want to point out that we still, for people who are avoiding spoilers, from what I've heard watching this trailer, they like it because they get a sense of, all right, sounds like looks cool. I'm looking forward to it, and I still know nothing about the movie itself, which is kind of a cliche for Star Wars trailers at this point, honestly. But it seems like they did it again. And so let me also, what was it here? At the beginning, I saw some people at the very beginning of the trailer saying, oh, look, it's Endor. You know, we're going back to Endor here. And that's been interesting because based off of the updates for leaks and stuff, correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is that we don't necessarily go to the forest moon of Endor that was in Return of the Jedi as much as one of the other moons in the Endor system is how it appears. Is that correct to my understanding?
Yes, from what they're saying, they give it a name, and it's the ocean world or the ocean moon of Endor.
Right. So, and at the very beginning, what they show is, I think, what JJ referred to as the new jungle planet. And I don't think that is, again, the forest moon that we are familiar with.
Right. Yeah. You know, which makes me wonder, because there was some person who said there was Ewoks.
Yeah. Bespin Bulletin said that.
Right. So I don't know if there's, you know, potentially Ewoks on different moons of Endor, or if it originally was going to be the moon of Endor, but they decided to say, okay, this is the forest moon, and this is the ocean moon. You know, because there is land, there's grass on, you know, on the ocean moon, at least in one of the shots there is, so.
I wouldn't be surprised if they did end up changing it, but I could also see where they did go ahead and put some Ewoks on there, because it is the same, you know, system, same kind of geography as where they would be native to, plus I could see them putting that in there as just a very clear one-to-one comparison of letting everybody know, yeah, this is still basically Endor. You have the Ewoks, you have the Death Star. It's the same system.
Well, it would be awesome if the Ewoks of the ocean moon are just straight evil.
Like, they have, like, the spearhead.
Yeah, they're just like, they're really feral, you know, because it's not as peaceful. It's not a forest. You know, it's like cold and wet, and it's living on the island all the time, and they're just like,
what about, like, aquatic Ewoks with gills?
Yes, they know how to swim really well. That would be kind of cool. They're just like, you know, really wet, like teddy bears, just like jumping out of the water like porpoises. It'd be fantastic. But then, you see, the thing is that finally they're gonna maybe put some real names to this whole thing, because with we even talked about it on an episode where it is the system is the Endor system, the planet is the Endor planet, and all the moons are named Endor. And it's like, how stupid is that? You remember that conversation?
Yeah.
So the forest moon of Endor, the moon that the Ewoks live on, is called Endor, and it circles around the planet called Endor, and you know, the system's called Endor. And it's like, well, imagine you say, hey, meet me on Endor. Like, which one?
Right. Well, yeah, like you said before, they did supposedly give this ocean moon a new name, and I don't remember what it is, but it was two words.
Yeah, it was on, I don't know if it was Disneyland that pumped it out or Star Wars, but this will be one of the places that you'll visit on some of the new iterations of Star Tours at the parks.
Right.
So it's a new location. So it's kind of interesting. Can we talk about Reylo for a minute?
Reylo?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's the focus of the trailer, at least one of the focuses of the trailer, I think.
Sure.
It certainly talks about, what is it, Palpatine talks about, you know, them coming together will be their undoing or whatever.
Right. And
it certainly got a lot of people who are down for Reylo excited. My thing is, here's what I'm curious about. Would Reylo be a thing if it wasn't for Rian Johnson?
Yes.
You think so?
I mean, the way that JJ started their relationship in The Force Awakens was already a very odd chemistry. I would say odd. I don't mean that it's unusual. Just it's not what you would expect for the protagonist and the antagonist of the series to have this sort of chemistry like they had. And I think the natural next step for their character progressions would be to develop that chemistry into some sort of bond. Now, what that looks like was very well shaped by Rian Johnson, but I think it would have eventually ended up in this sort of concept anyway.
See, I didn't see any chemistry whatsoever. At least I saw that he was essentially like a confused, socially awkward for sure, Kylo Ren, you know?
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, it's a woman, what do I do? Kind of deal. She's more like annoyed. You know, you've got me in handcuffs. You know, you've got my friends, you're coming after, you know, I don't see her interest peaked in who he is at all.
Well, she kind of has unique insight into him that, again, it's not exactly to the extent of their bond in The Last Jedi, but when she talks about how he's afraid that he'll never be as strong as Darth Vader, at the time, we just took that as her using the Force, but that is almost like the groundwork for them having insights to the other that was developed again later on.
Okay. Well, and then supposedly what, the bond between them is because of that, or was it something else?
You know, again, in The Last Jedi, they make it seem like it's pretty much Snoke behind that all. Who knows? Because, I mean, even with him gone, it's continuing. And I feel like they would have, again, they would have had some sort of bond anyway. They might not have had their the Force bond to where they're in each other's locations and seeing each other's surroundings and all that if it weren't for Snoke. And then maybe now that he started that, they can initiate it on their own, which is what it seems to happen in The Rise of Skywalker.
But you think that for the most part, you know, granted, the entire story would be different, but you think the trajectory of Rey and Kylo would be the same if JJ had written the second movie?
Yeah, I think it'd be the same concept. The execution and the way the path went might look a little different, but I do think that, like you said, their trajectory overall would be basically the same direction.
Okay, interesting. I really wasn't sure, to be honest. It feels like the one thing that he's pulled out of Rian Johnson's, you know, it seems like the one major theme or the one major idea from The Last Jedi that is continuing on, so to speak. Uh-huh. You know, I mean, if again, this is the all spoiler episode, so he's retconning, or not even retconning, he's just saying, no, they were mistaken, her parents are, you know, and is Palpatine, is that changed at all? Is this still supposed to be her grandpappy or something?
As far as I know, yeah, it's still supposed to be her. And my understanding, based off of something I read, is that she is the daughter of Palpatine's son, supposedly.
What? That could change a lot of stuff. Because Palpatine, sorry, the guy does not have time for, you know what I mean? He's got zero time for that.
Yep.
He's not the sort of person to even get involved.
Well, hey,
it's
one
like,
other
it's
thing.
Like my work is my love, and my work is destroying the galaxy.
No, I agree with you, and I don't know that this is going to be the case, but one other thing to throw into the conversation is that Jango called Boba his son. So, I'm not saying that that's the case, but there could be another way to look at it other than...
It's true.
Palpatine having a son out of some sort of love-based thing.
You know, and also speaking of, like, relations and relatives and all that, I was thinking about this the other day. The whole idea of the Naberis is just kind of floating out there, right? They haven't really done anything with that.
With what?
Padme's family.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, Luke Skywalker and Princess Leia and Ben Solo are all related to them.
It's true.
They are basically their, you know, one side of the family.
Right.
It's an interesting, I don't know if it's considered a concept or what it is, but it's an interesting, you know, idea that they don't really touch upon. I mean, maybe it'd be one of those things that you'd get in a book or a comic or something like that, but I am kind of curious about if they showed up, they'd be like, oh, God. this is his side of the family. We want nothing to do with him.
Well, this is kind of a random switch, but something you said reminded me of this. There was a leak today, and I say leak, it's really more of a rumor because I think it's pretty not credible. But it's still a discussion worth having. So you have expressed that you're not a fan, per se, of the Ben Solo never to be seen again ending, right?
Yes,
being thrown down the pit kind of thing.
Yep,
yeah. So again, I would take this with a grain of salt. In fact, I would probably say that this is not true. But there was a leak that, or a rumor that said that at the end of the movie, when the person on Tatooine goes up to Rey and says, you know, who are you? I haven't seen anybody around here in a long time. She says, Rey Skywalker, all that kind of stuff. The person reveals himself to be Ben Solo, who asked her that. And has a moment of like, hey, guess what? He survived, and he's now kind of hiding his identity there on Tatooine and all that. Again, I take this to be fake. But if something like that were to happen, since you weren't a fan of that idea, how would you feel?
Oh, I'd be fine with that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Here, let me read. I think, just for context, I think this came from 4chan, so again.
The thing is, you've already got one guy who survived a pit, and an explosion of a Death Star. Just kind of like, don't worry about why I'm here. You know, so Kylo getting thrown down a pit and showing up on Tatooine, we're like, what's up, girl? Okay.
Well, okay, so according to I'm just going to read up the link or rumor here. It says, after the defeat of Palpatine, Rey and her friends go to Tatooine to honor the Skywalker legacy. She buries the lightsabers of Anakin and Leia. Then a stranger appears and says he didn't see people there for a long time. He asks who she is, and she responds with, I'm Rey Skywalker, as we have already known. Then the stranger says, Skywalker, I hadn't heard this name for a long time here. He looks at her and reveals that he is Ben Solo, who survived his fall in the pit on Exegol. He smiles and tells her, very well, take care of yourself, and may the Force be with you, Rey Skywalker. She smiles, thanks him, telling him, thank you for everything. I hope you will find what you seek. And Ben says, no, I do. I don't even know what that means. And says goodbye to her, going on his own journey. Then Rey rejoins her friends, and they look at the sunset with hope for a better future, the end. So again, I think you can tell just by reading it, and that it comes from 4chan, it's not exactly legit.
Lie. It's absolutely legit.
I'm like, but again, we're just looking at the concept of how that would go over for you, since you weren't a fan of that idea.
Oh, I'm a fan of that idea. Look, I'm a fan of him living. How's that?
Nah, I mean, I'd be fine with it. It would not upset me. It would not ruin the movie if they didn't. And I kind of think I understand why it would go that way, but if they found a way to make it work, I'm fine with that too. I'm really just interested in how they do it, not so much where they end up.
I mean, I'm not entirely sure he should even be redeemed. Okay, I mean, I know I joke around and say Ben-demption on the show all the time, but I'm not even sure he should be redeemed. But if he is, then let him live.
I can see that. I mean, personally, I like the whole thing with him against the Knights of Ren. I like him showing up to help Rey against the Emperor. I like all that. If he dies, if he dies again, I think I'd be fine with that. I do feel like, although there is a poetic element to him being thrown over the side of a cliff, given what happened with Han, I still think that there might be a little bit better way to do it. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that looks like. That's why JJ is writing this. I think people saying that they wish there had been more to it than that for him.
I think the poetic, doesn't she stab him in the chest or the stomach or something?
Yeah, and then heals
with his own lightsaber.
That sounds right. I didn't remember if it was his or not, but that does sound right.
There's the poetic justice, okay? There's the...
Yeah, I can see that.
You killed Han like this, so I'm going to stab you like that, okay? We're all done.
I can see that.
Tap, tap the trade backs. We're equal.
I don't know. I mean...
But again, I mean, look, you don't want to necessarily shut everything down for the future, I think, because I don't. Captain Kennedy's mentioned that, you know, this probably won't be the last we'll see of the characters. You know, in five years from now, who knows? They'll make a comeback and have some different story. I think keeping that option open is interesting.
Keeping they make it seem like he's dead now, and then in 5 years, that's part of the tease. Like they're dealing
possible,
with the Emperor but and everybody else.
But I think that kind of wink to the audience, like, I'm still here, is better. Like,
yeah.
Like, she's come to, and it's one of those things to where she's come to grips with his change, and she's accepted it, and she's the only one that really has to.
Right.
You know, she's the only one that it really matters to. She knows, you know, Finn is not gonna be on board with this. Poe, absolutely not. In the meantime, though, I see a Kylo. Go run. You know?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
When she walks away anyway, she's gonna come back and dig up the lightsabers anyways, because it's Kylo.
I mean, I see both sides of it again. I'm not going to really be upset for that either way, unless it's executed poorly. But I doubt it will be, and I think I'll be fine with whatever they do personally. But with that in mind, you want to kind of talk about that leaked image too? About
even better. Imagine when we start. Right? Imagine when we start whatever spinoff there is 5-10 years from now. We've got a Skywalker living at the Lars residence, right?
Uh-huh.
And we've got a Ben living in Ben's hut.
I mean, yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, he's living there now. He's chilling. Ben took over for Ben's house. He's at Ben's house.
And so, yeah, I want to kind of mention, I guess going back to the trailer, we do see some things where there's that one part where Rey and Kylo are both destroying something that looks like a Vader helmet or something like that. First off, Rey is holding the Sith dagger, and that you can see. And then also, for the context of what's happening in that scene, they are fighting, but that's during one of their force bond moments. So Rey sees Kylo's surroundings, which is what we see, and she destroys the Vader homage thing. And Kylo sees Rey's surroundings, so he does not realize that they just destroyed Vader's thing there. So that's kind of the surrounding or the context for that scene. 3PO's whole big kind of moment. If you're following spoilers, you probably already know this, but that's when, you know, Babu Frick is going through and resetting to an extent 3PO, so that where he loses his memories in order to be able to fully and accurately translate what the Sith message is. Again, later on in the movie, he does end up getting memories back based off of the backup that R2 has. Did we go through the... I'm trying to remember, because there's been so much. Did Jedi Pax just come out with even more info?
Excuse me.
I'm going to check.
Sorry.
That's unforgivable.
I don't know.
I totally can't edit it out.
I didn't see him come out with anything.
All right, hold on. Let me see. He came out, looks like, with something that says notes on the trailer and addendums to my story summaries. Here are the addendums. He said, I do believe we went over the reshoots story that he put out. So these are just a couple, not much, quick updates to what he had said there. He stated that the opening Luke and Leia training flashback sequence had been cut in favor of Luke telling the story of that exchange to Rey on Octo. This appears to still be the case, but he's being told that they are now integrating footage from that opening sequence into Luke's story to Rey, making it a flashback with voiceover narration. The scene may not be as it originally was, but audiences should still be able to get a glimpse of recreations of young Luke and Leia in this version. He also says that it contains 4 Force Bond sequences by his count, but his sources are telling him that it has been cut to 3, where Kylo takes Rey's necklace on Pasana, the lightsaber battle where Rey is on Kylo's Star Destroyer and Kylo is on Kijimi, which I think is, again, where we have that Vader thing from the trailer, and Rey sending Kylo a lightsaber for the final battle, where she's like throws the saber and through the Force Bond he catches it. Concerning the Force ghosts, his sources tell him that Luke and Leia can indeed be seen watching over the heroes on Tatooine during the final sequence of the film. don't know if they're the only ones yet. I'm hoping not. I'm hoping we get at least Hayden Christensen. I mean, come on. Come on. Like that to me, if they don't include Hayden at the end, would be the biggest oversight, pitfall, whatever it is, of the movie. Like, that would just be a huge mistake. From what I can tell. But anyway, those are the quick updates that he did have. I'm checking again real quick, and it seems that we still do not have a trailer for The Mandalorian yet. Just a quick update.
What if it's like a possession movie?
Huh?
Like, imagine, you know how they say they all reside in you now?
Right.
What if you see, like...
Literally?
Well, no, but I mean, like, what if you see them go into her?
I don't think that would go over very well.
Dude, I'd be down. And the last person who steps in sort of to give her strength is Anakin.
Yeah, again, I don't think that would go very well because that's taking away from Rey as an individual character of this trilogy and making it everybody else. Like, there's a difference between them like encouraging her and letting her on to help against this big bad guy of the whole series versus having literally everybody else do it for you because you can't handle it on your own.
Nobody has handled Palpatine on their own though. So
yeah.
What does it matter?
But this is the finale. You know, you gotta be able to have somebody take care of them.
So that's why you power up.
And that's what they do, but they don't have to have everybody else do it for her.
It's not doing it for her. It's being a part of. She's the conduit. You know what I mean?
I think what you're saying, but I guess it's just too literal of everybody else doing it.
It's too literal if somebody wants to. I want you to edit me out, but I don't want to say it. It's if people want to bitch and whine and moan about something, sure, there you can have it. Oh, she didn't get to be the hero. Listen, if she's the conduit for them, like if she's the body for them to help take it out, you know, it's not like she's not her own person. They just add to her strength. It's almost like when somebody, you know, it's almost like a religious experience where they say, like, Jesus, you know, give me the strength. You follow what I'm saying?
I do.
So it would be like that. It would be getting the people who've come before you, you know, give me the power, give me the strength to defeat Satan, so to speak. And they're there. And they're within her, and they're helping her take them out. Or take out Palpatine, who's like the ultimate evil, who no one has been able to take out by themselves.
Well, and again, I do think that's close to what's going to happen. I think they're going to show up, and they're going to somehow assist her. But I don't know, I just feel like stepping into her, so to speak, is too far of like taking over.
Yeah, but it's more like replacing the force power that she's had drained.
It would be so weird, but it'd be kind of cool if she's like lying down and they just appear and they like Night Sisters her back to life. That'd be so weird. But
not even that. Like let's say they walk up to, or even if they walk up to her and like touch her and disappear and walk up, and you would almost be like a Hulk Hogan. Remember Hulk Hogan in the old days?
Kind of.
Laying on the mat and he just starts, yeah, brother. He just starts shaking. It'd be like every time another Jedi comes up and like, you know, touches her, she's like, gets stronger and stronger.
Right.
I should write this damn thing. I'd make a movie for myself. And then she'd like rip off her shirt and it says Hulkamania underneath. Sorry.
But oh yeah, I was gonna say though before. Yeah, let's talk real quick about that leaked image too, where we have Ben and Rey standing next to each other, each with their blue lightsabers from that final battle with Palpatine. Did you see that?
I did.
What were your thoughts of that?
It's very exciting.
I thought it was awesome.
I wish it was a green lightsaber.
I agree. I do agree with that, but at the same time, it is kind of cool that we have the potential for Rey to be using the legacy Anakin lightsaber and Ben to be using his mom's.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, I could see Leia should have a green one. I don't know, because at the same time, when she would have had one, Luke would have had a green one, so it would have been different for her to have a blue one. This is way looking too far.
I didn't think about it. That'd be interesting to watch them if they do show them spar green versus blue.
Yeah, it kind of make me think of Grievous in a way.
I miss Grievous.
What's
he up to? Oh, he's dead, huh? poor guy.
I mean, he's just, you know, I remember back in the old canon, the EU, whatever, they gave him like a tragic story.
He still has that story technically in Clone Wars, except it's implied.
True.
Like, they basically took the tragic story of Grievous, and they have different, like, what, he has, like, busts or whatever from his, from his history or whatever. So, the busts or the reliefs reflect his still, you know, his story. It's just, it doesn't tell you it. Yeah, I like that story.
Yeah. I do want to mention, too, that some things we've been talking about with this trailer, that what we don't have has been very interesting. And the more that we've had time separated from reacting to it and just seeing it and it's having it be new, the more it kind of hits us. So I know you and I have been talking a little bit, and we talked about this somewhat on the podcast last week, but we have no Knights of Ren in this. We have no Sith troopers in this. In fact, we hardly have any First Order at all visually.
Well, you don't have Hux.
We don't have Hux.
You don't have Price.
We don't have Pride.
Pride, excuse me. I get Pride and Price mixed up from, you know, the Price from Rebels. Which, by the way, I just watched the season finale or the series finale of that again.
Wait, what? God,
I just watched the series finale of Rebels again.
What's the series finale?
Of Rebels? Not Resistance. Rebels.
Oh, yeah. You said, okay, in my head, I had a Resistance. I'm like, that wasn't here yet.
No, because I finally had to get the stupid Disney Go app to watch Resistance. Uh-huh. And then after, it played Rebels afterwards. And so I just started watching it. Man, that was good.
It was. And I tell you what, when I think of Rebels, what comes to my head, like to me, the defining best moment of that entire series was the Anakin/Vader Ahsoka part. Like, that episode was so good, and especially that shot where you have Vader's mask damaged and you see Anakin through it looking at Ahsoka. Like, that is what stands out to me as, like, the best thing to come out of that series.
It was. It was really good. And the one I just watched was the one that has Palpatine in it, where he's trying to convince Ezra to go with his parents, you know, to change his sort of reality.
Right, yeah.
And so good.
I'm excited,
which is kind of funny because, you know, on the podcast we sort of, we sort of shat all over. I could say shat.
We had our ups and downs with the show.
Yeah, you're not gonna edit that out because it's very scientific. But over Rebels at times, and then when it got better, or at least when we felt it got better, we certainly gave it, you know, we certainly complimented it. And right. Along those lines, you know, I know it's a little bit of a digression, but not really. Resistance so far, 4 episodes in, this season they're killing it. It's great. I love it.
This season is what I was expecting the first season to be like.
Right. Absolutely, 100%.
Which, I mean, I'm kind of noticing this as a trend. Not so much with Clone Wars, but with Rebels and Resistance, and we'll see what happens next. But I'm noticing it's kind of a slow burner in the beginning to get to where we want to be with these series.
Yeah, I'm just gonna try and shut up from now on. You know, I'm gonna try and I'm certainly trying to be more positive on Twitter and surround myself by positivity, because I am deleting I am unfollowing people right and left. I had my first major one today, and it felt bad. Like, I'm not gonna say who it was. I'll let them find out. But it was my first one that I was like, I like this person, but I just didn't want to hear it anymore. So I was like, bye.
Was it me?
No, it wasn't you.
Oh, okay, good.
All I can say is, if you're listening to the podcast and you really went in on Game of Thrones without knowing the history of the backstory of why things are, then I probably unfollowed you if you expressed your opinion about them doing Star Wars.
Oh, the D&D, basically.
Yeah, they got crap this weekend. They had one of their first interviews post, post season finale at the Austin Film Festival. And if you have not followed the story of the making of Game of Thrones or listened to any interviews with these guys, what they said this weekend would be a complete, oh my God, really? But it happened, you know? People were like, oh, HBO just gave these untried people a chance. It's like, well, they liked Game of Thrones. They approached George R. R. Martin for whatever reason. After a wonderful meeting, he decided, I'm going to give these guys a shot. So they took it to HBO, and it doesn't exist without them attached to it. HBO gave them money for the pilot. The pilot was horrible. Most of it had to be reshot. And then they lucked out. You know, they learned as they went along. And the thing is that what a lot of people don't realize is that's kind of the story of a lot of stuff in Hollywood. You know, apparently the first cut of Star Wars was just horrible. It was an absolute mess until, you know, Marshall Lucas took it and was like, let me see what I can do with this. But they showed it for people, and it was considered garbage. You know, and some of the other shots of the film, you could see it. It was in that Behind the Magic, where it's like, you know what I'm talking about, to where it's a land speeder and it's green screen, or not green screen, but like rear projection behind them, and it just looks really horrible.
Right.
But sometimes, you know, through adversity comes, you know, brilliance or genius or something really special. And that's the situation with Game of Thrones. That's a situation with Star Wars for sure. You know, one of the things that I had tweeted about was, Ramin Djawadi. He got his job at, now granted, the guy knew music. He knew how to write. He knew how to play music. He composed music. But he got his start pretty much in, you know, with Hans Zimmer at Remote Control Productions by lying. They needed somebody to figure out the samples, how the machines work for samples. And they said, you know how to do this? And he said, yes. And he didn't know crap. He ended up having to get help from people to do it.
He's not the only one. Blake Neely, who is a composer for largely TV shows and stuff at Remote Control Productions, did the same thing where they asked him, I think it was orchestrations, where they're like, hey, can you do this orchestrate, whatever? And he's like, yeah, absolutely. And he had never done one before.
So, turns out that's the way to get in. Fake it until you make it.
Yeah. I do want to mention real quick something that I saw very recently, which is that based off that 4chan rumor that we read before about Ben being there at the end, all this, someone in the comments underneath that storyline said something that, again, this isn't going to happen anyway, but I like this idea, where he said, how about instead of Ben at the end asking her about her name and this location, all that, how about that is Force Ghost Anakin?
What? With it? Huh?
Anakin, I mean, at the end, asking her, like, hey, no one's been around this place for a long time. Like, who are you? And then she says her name, and he's like, nice.
Sweet.
My legacy goes on.
And then I think I'd be freaked out at a certain point.
But, I mean, how cool would that be, though?
It would be
if he's there at the end watching over.
I think if combining the best of both worlds, if you had it be Kylo or Ben now saying, hey, what's your name, blah blah blah, and then he walks up to the dunes, right? He walks away, and it's the three of them standing up at the dunes.
Three of them being Ben, Hayden, and Luke, or Anakin and Luke?
Anakin, Leia, and Luke.
And Ben being the fourth. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, Ben's not Force Ghost. He's just normal. He walks up to them like
right.
That would be fantastic. I would scream out. I'll have to record it if it happens.
I'm getting really nervous because Jedi Pax has said something again a couple days ago about someone asked him, like, hey, is Hayden in this? And he said, if he is, I don't know about it. And that's very possible. He said, I don't have every single detail about this. And maybe they're keeping that super under wraps or something. But, like, seriously, if he's not in this movie, that will upset me, like, more than a lot of other things. I don't know. Like, I feel like I'm getting upset about this the same way that everybody else is about Ben's ending or whatever. Like,
did you when you had your one-on-one time with Hayden, did you ask him? Hey,
I didn't. Noah did. I did not, though. Yeah.
And what
he didn't ask him. I think he said something about looking forward to seeing you in The Rise of Skywalker or something like that. And he said Hayden just winked at him.
Oh, that could be anything. He could have had something in his eye.
I mean, we don't know. But he's got to be there. It has to happen. Quick check. And still no trailer for The Mandalorian yet. All right.
That's all right. It'll be here tonight.
Yeah, no, I was just hoping it would be able to come out while we're talking, since we're going to do this anyway, instead of having to wait another week. I do want to say something that occurred to me a couple hours ago, actually. Previous years, before The Force Awakens and before The Last Jedi, I would do, and a lot of people would do, this sort of Star Wars movie marathon, either the day of, and you just, like, really crunch those movies, or, like, one a day leading up to it or whatnot. Before The Last Jedi, I did the one a day, where it ended with episode 8 on the 8th day. It was a little hectic. It was a little crazy, and it almost was like starting to kind of blur together when you're watching the movies, just because living a normal life and then trying to fit these in at that time of year on the time frame before the movie, which it's just, I don't know. I did it and it was cool and I liked it, but I'm saying all this because I'm thinking this year I might do it once a week leading up to it instead. I think that might settle or be a little smoother. And the reason I'm saying all that is because if you want to do the same thing, start this week. Because if you start right now, we will have the 8th week be the week of The Rise of Skywalker being in theaters.
Week 8?
Or is it 9? Oh, hi, let me count. I'm stupid. Hold on.
What is it?
So, yeah, if you start, like, right now it's Monday for us. By the time you're listening to this, it's Tuesday or later. But if you start right now, then you can watch The Last Jedi the week of the release of The Rise of Skywalker. So yeah, you could have started last week, I guess. But if you start soon, then yeah, you can get The Last Jedi in, maybe like the day before you see The Rise of Skywalker or something like that. But that can work out.
So there you go.
So are you going to do that, Mark? Or are you just telling other people to do it?
Yeah, I think I'm going to do it.
Okay, cool. So, wait, do you start with episode 4 or 1?
I know, I'll start with 1.
Yeah, that's how I do it, typically. I've said it before on the show, I've done it where you watch them all in one day, a few different times, and I don't think I've ever started with 4. I always go 1 through 6 at the time, and then now 1 through 8. Because it's a story. You're not following the production of the series, you're following the storyline, and the story starts with episode 1. That's literally why it's called episode 1. So
yeah, it doesn't make any sense to do it otherwise. I get for some people that you know, you might want to go, what was that one theory, what was that one where you go 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 6, so it sort of preserves what do you call it? It preserves the surprise of Vader as Luke's father. If you do 4, 5, 1, 2, 3 serves as the flashback after 5. You know what I mean? Have you heard that
before? Yeah, that's way too complicated.
Well, it's not actually that complicated.
I mean, it's a nice idea, but
yeah,
not for me though.
But I think most people nowadays know the whole "I'm your father." In online,
yeah, people who don't, they're like, Star Wars, what's that movie? Is that the whole Vader dad thing? Like,
yeah, I think ultimately it's you know, one of those ones to where it doesn't need to be hidden anymore.
This is pretty random, but this is kind of a random episodes. So let me just throw this in there too. I was thinking earlier today about the music for The Rise of Skywalker, everything we're going to be getting, and supposedly they're trying to throw it all in there. One thing that it occurred to me, I really would like to have again in this one, especially with it being the last of the franchise, being episodes 1 through 9 for now. And again, unless something crazy happens, this is the last Star Wars movie that John Williams is going to be doing. So what I would really like for this is to have some sort of fanfare moment in the actual movie itself. So we get bits and clues and deconstructed, sad versions. Like, we get the theme thrown in there from time to time, but we haven't really had much of like a full blast fanfare type of sound in the sequel trilogy. It's not like I'm thinking of it. I'm thinking like, you know, in A New Hope, the way it was done there a few times. We haven't really had it that way since. So I would like it if there's some sort of, you know, heroic moment or something where we get the main theme fanfare thrown in there full blast.
That's what you want to hear? Or say that again?
Yeah. I mean, kind of like Return of the Jedi, when Luke is about to jump over the side into the Sarlacc and he bounces back up and we have the fanfare going.
Oh, God.
Something like that is what I want for a moment in this one.
For Rey.
Anybody, I mean, yeah, it would make the most sense, but I just want to hear it.
Yeah, it's underused.
It is, and again, with this being the grand finale, it'd be perfect. Some sort of heroic celebratory moment. Just throw it in there, and everybody's happy. Everybody's excited.
You know, what are you potentially excited for when this is all over?
As far as, like, the next step for Star Wars, or what?
Well, there's that, like, personally, there's a ton of things that I honestly expected to happen that didn't happen. You know, okay. I thought we would get, I thought we would get some re-releases in the theaters. I certainly hoped that we would get some re-releases in the theaters. You know, rather than just one day of marathons, I thought we might get a few here and there.
Yeah.
I thought maybe we might get updated or expanded or remastered versions of soundtracks.
Well, we kind of did, but not like you're talking
about. No. They just remastered their existing soundtrack. I thought maybe we'd get, you know, some stuff, you know, especially with the prequels. The original trilogy is pretty much, it's pretty solid as far as what we have. There's a couple items we don't have, and that's because it might be lost. But I certainly hope with the prequels, we get, you know, an expanded, remastered soundtrack. But I think when all is said and done, I'm excited to possibly, like, I think John Williams is just kind of kicking butt as far as in the areas of things that you don't normally think of. Like, that album he just released with, what's her name?
The violinist?
Yes. So basically did new concert suites of a bunch of his works.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of tailor-made for, is it a violinist? Is that how you say it?
I believe so.
So sort of tailor-made for her, for that role, and they're amazing. You know, a few years back, many years back, he took the original trilogy and sort of constructed and crafted different concert suites for those. I would love to see sort of him sort of put a bookend on it and sort of give us the Skywalker Saga concert suites. Here's some from the prequels. Here's some from the original trilogy. And here's some from, you know, the sequels. Because you've got that one recently that he did was with Han Solo and the princess. Mm-hmm. Right? That was gorgeous.
Her name is Anne-Sophie Mutter, for the record.
Oh, such a good album. Such a good album. And it's actually available to listen to if you have any sort of streaming service. Most of them are, it's available.
I don't know how. I knew this was coming up, but somehow I missed that it was already out. So I will be doing that.
Like, dude, yeah, I got my dad to cry off of listening to it. Apparently,
so checking that out. Like,
apparently, with a little bit of whiskey and violins, my dad got cheery. Here's what you listen to tonight. If you don't have anything going on, okay?
Yeah.
Put on Night Journeys.
Okay.
It's from Dracula. put do you have good headsets?
Oh yeah, I got a really good headphones.
Okay, lock your door, turn off the lights, lay in your bed, crank it up, and it is an otherworldly experience.
I feel like Night most Journey of them would be.
Oh, this one though, this one is a whole other level. When it reaches its crescendo, it is phenomenal.
Okay,
it is something else. And I was laying in bed one night, my wife's asleep, I had my AirPods in or whatever, and my God. Okay, wait. Is it trailer time?
Yes, 22 seconds ago, they tweeted it. It's not on YouTube yet, but it's on Twitter.
All right. I thought we were leaving. But so again, do that tonight.
Oh, absolutely.
Are you and I going to try and watch it at the same time?
Sure. Well, I'm refreshing it because I'd rather watch it on YouTube if possible for higher quality.
Well, let me get my glasses. Okay, hold on. Keep talking. I'm going to mute you for a second.
Here, let's see.
Okay, I'm back. Hold on. All right. Let's do this. What was it on?
Hold on.
Don't tell me to hold on. I tell you to hold on. Mandalorian trailer upload date. There it is. 2 minutes ago.
On YouTube?
It's on YouTube, Disney streaming. It's Star Wars.
Oh, that's why I'm checking the Star Wars account. Hold on.
It is on the Star Wars account, it says, but just do a Mandalorian trailer and then do upload date, and it's the second thing from the top.
Okay.
And is this the first time this is a live reaction, but it's with our voices?
Yeah.
All right, whatever.
Okay, hold on, I just... Okay, I did find it. Okay, that's a side comment.
Because I'm already hearing it, and if that's the music, right off the bat,
no, I'm not playing it yet.
Well, I just had to play it, and in 3 seconds in there, I heard some music.
Okay, well, I'm going to start it. Okay.
Wait, hold on, let me rewind. Let me rewind to the beginning.
Okay.
Let me set it up because I'm watching on the phone while I talk with you.
Okay.
All right, let me turn the contrast up. You have it at 000, Tim?
I do.
Okay, so we do what, 3, 2, 1, then press, or 3, 2, 1 and press?
One, and then at the imaginary 0 you press.
Okay, ready?
Uh-huh.
3, 2, 1.
Okay, so I've seen this.
Yes, I mean, how about the music so far, though? It's a world
more peaceful. I do like it. Revolution.
See, it's already aliens. I mean, creatures. I don't understand. Wait.
Oh, these are from the pictures from Celebration.
It's action figures.
But bounty hunting is a complicated profession.
Okay.
I'm
Lucasfilm's doing this.
Who?
Lucasfilms. Yeah. Oh, nice.
Oh, there we go.
Floating carbonite.
They said you were the best in the parsec.
Those are awesome cantina vibes.
Yeah, really.
Do you agree?
Oh, right to the face.
Oh, nice. Visionary new series. Oh, nice.
No, it's not, is it? Is it a reek?
Mandalorian. Look outside. They are waiting.
There's IG not 88. Nice.
I mean, they sold me. I wasn't sure. Look,
okay, so being at Celebration, at the panel, John Favreau, Dave Filoni, all that, and they showed those footage from the series and all that kind of stuff.
Are you able to play it, the sound, while we talk really low? Be able to edit that in there?
That would be complicated.
But if anybody could do it, Tim, It would be you.
I mean, yeah.
Tim?
No promises.
I gave you the perfect, like, sync up.
Potentially. Okay, anyway. Potentially.
I gave you a good sync. Go ahead.
At Celebration, when they showed us, you know, the actual footage and all this stuff, it looked really good. And what I really like about this, and actually, you know, if you follow this stuff, you can probably see the potato footage of it somewhere, or you could have at the time, even though they were telling us to not record, and Mr. Security Guy was really freaking me out when I had my phone out. But, because they never told us to not record it until security guys came rushing around. They're like, oh, by the way, don't record this. Anyway, so what I like about this trailer is that, for me, more so than the first one, this kind of... it gives a similar vibe to the footage that they saw. To me, this was a similar or a closer representation of what we saw as far as like the 7 minutes of footage or whatever than the first one. So if you're getting hyped off of this trailer, then you're gonna like the series, I think. And I'm like really looking forward to this. I overlook it sometimes just because of my excitement for The Rise of Skywalker, which is huge. But this, if I'm number one with The Rise of Skywalker, Mandalorian is 1.5. So, yeah, no, I'm all in for this. And that only comes out in, what, 2 weeks? Crap, yes, two weeks.
2 weeks from tomorrow.
Wow.
And then the second episode is that Friday.
Yeah.
So we're potentially going to have two episodes to talk about before. I don't know how. Tim and I haven't really figured out how we're doing it yet.
No, we kind of have.
Well, you're going to have to refresh me because I'm old.
Well, I want to mention real quick too, can we just talk about that last shot in the trailer where the Mr. Mandalorian man like grapples onto the top of a moving TIE fighter?
Yes, Mr. Mandalorian man.
Yeah,
sure.
That's awesome.
The whole thing's awesome.
It is. To me, this is gonna fill the gap that a lot of people who miss the EU have been missing and wanting.
And think about this in a way, to be honest. I mean, you know, everyone was kind of taken aback, I think, when they said, oh, guess what? We're not getting a new Star Wars for, what, 3 years?
Yeah.
And you don't know what it is yet, and it might be Rian Johnson's yay, boo. It might be the guys from Game of Thrones, yay, boo. Nobody, you know, it may be one of those. It may be Kevin Feige's yay, boo. Nobody really likes it. People hate it, people like it. But I think the one consistent thing between them is what's going to be on Disney Plus. You've got this, season one and season two, which they're already starting. You've got Obi-Wan, which they're going to start filming any day now. They salvaged casting, apparently. Apparently it was on life support. And now with the writer who came in for the reshoots, writer and director who came in for the reshoots for Rogue One, it's now a thing again. So I think that's where we're going to... Oh, and let's not forget Clone Wars.
Right.
And whatever else they're going to announce within 3 years as far as animation. So, you know, and whatever else they're going to announce as far as another TV series. I think we're in good hands in the drought, quote unquote. It's not even a drought, really.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
You know, and it doesn't even mean... You know, there are rumors suggesting that Obi-Wan takes place not too long after Return of the Sith, or Revenge of the Sith, excuse me.
Right.
So if they do start earlier in the timeline, that means there's more... if you start when he's already, like, closer to A New Hope, there's less chances of actual stories to be told.
Right.
But if you start earlier on where he's maybe still going out and helping Jedi who are in trouble. He's kind of set Luke aside. He's helped him with the Lars family. And now he's like, oh, this person needs my help, or this person needs my help. You know, there's still a lot of stories to be told. There could be two or three seasons of that show.
It's certainly true. And honestly, we haven't really gotten to this much yet. The closest is the Kenobi series. But one thing I'm really looking forward to, and I hope that they do, in the quote-unquote downtime from the main series of movies, is please get back to exploring the lore of the prequels. Because there is so much there. It's so rich. We were talking earlier about Grievous and his backstory. there's so much great stuff there that is pretty much being untouched right now. I mean, Clone Wars will potentially be getting into some of that more in the Kenobi series, but that's about it. And there's way more to be getting to. Now, having said that, we don't know the Rian Johnson series yet. That's going to potentially, theoretically, if it happens, probably going to happen. We don't know yet. be happening in an area of Star Wars we haven't explored yet, which could be before the prequels. I mean, there's a lot that we don't know yet, but I really do wish that they would devote a little bit more time to exploring that content-rich area.
Well, I don't understand why you can't have... you already have all the assets as far as from Clone Wars. You could do a really good post, you know, Revenge of the Sith series using the assets from Clone Wars to tell stories about the people in the galaxy. You could do a really good Fallen Order type Jedi on the Run type of series. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that comes out in a couple weeks too.
Yeah, that seems interesting to some extent. By the way, was that a reek in that scene in Mandalorian?
Oh, yeah, I believe so. I mean, it looked like it.
That's my guy.
It looked awesome, yeah.
I'm big on all the stupid creatures from the arena. I love those guys.
No, they're great. I've been waiting to see an Ackley make a comeback in some form. That guy, yeah, the Reek, that'd be awesome. Especially, it looked a little more wild, so to speak, a little bit more rough. That'd be sweet. Do you think they'd go to Geonosis? I mean, that's kind of random to point that out, but if we have a Reek.
I don't think so.
We know they go to Tatooine, but what if they go to, I mean, Geonosis is another great place to explore. We know next to nothing about it in current canon. And there's a whole world that is full of nostalgia for a bunch of people to explore more.
Yeah, I think so many people, so many Star Wars fans have grown up on the prequel trilogy, have grown up on Clone Wars, that you know, everything nowadays, keeping everything original trilogy centric doesn't make much sense. And again, just looking at the fact that they're doing an Obi-Wan series with Ewan McGregor, I mean, that appeals to both sides. That appeals to the original trilogy people, and that definitely appeals to the prequel trilogy.
Oh, absolutely.
That to me is the most exciting one out of all of this, because it is Ewan McGregor. It is Obi-Wan Kenobi. And everyone, you know, Alec Guinness, whatever, you know, what is it, James, I don't call him James Taylor.
Yeah, James Arnold Taylor.
Okay, well, I think James Taylor, like, you know, the singer.
Right.
But, you know, he definitely put his mark on, both those actors put their marks on Obi-Wan Kenobi. But
absolutely.
Ewan McGregor, Obi-Wan Kenobi, it's going to be amazing. Yeah. Coming back. Now here's a question excited. For you. Here's a question for you. If Ewan McGregor said he wanted to do the voice of Obi-Wan Kenobi for the Clone Wars for the last episode, do you allow that? Do you allow it, or do you say for continuity's sake, no?
That's interesting. So here's the thing, as I see it. If anybody, you know, people ask you, like, you know, hey, what's your favorite movie? What's your favorite actor? All that sort of stuff. If people say, who's your favorite actor? My first thought is Ewan McGregor. I am a huge fan of that guy. Whatever he does is great just because he's doing it, okay?
Tim, real quick, what's your thought on Moulin Rouge?
Moving on.
Do you don't like it?
This is going to sound really stupid after what I just said, but I haven't seen it.
Oh, Tim, will you watch it this weekend for me, seriously?
I can try to. I mean, I don't know, like, where it is or anything, but I can look into it.
That movie makes me cry, man. It's a good movie.
Oh, really?
It is amazing. Yeah, and his voice is raw, you know, his singing voice, but it's good. It is such a brilliant movie. It grabs you. It's got such emotion. He's fantastic in it. Everyone, you know, Nicole Kidman's fantastic in it. If you haven't seen it, it is a movie that you must watch.
Okay. I mean, I'm open to it because he's in it, you know, but
it's one of my favorite movies of all time. I even watched it in the first place was because Ewan McGregor was in.
Yeah.
But it is so good.
Well, like Dr. Sleep's coming out here pretty soon. Normally I'd be like, eh, whatever. I'll see it at some point, I'm sure. But I'm more interested in it than I normally would be because I'm like, well, he's in it, so worth checking out. I feel like Birds of Prey is the same way. Like, I would probably watch that eventually, but knowing that he's in it instantly. I mean, yeah, no, I definitely watch it anyway, but I might not watch it in theaters now. I'm thinking about it. Anyway, all this, get back to your question. I'm a huge fan of him, and the Obi-Wan that he's done is fantastic. It's helped define the character in so many ways. It's added a whole new side to him as a character, really, seeing his more like snarky kind of side, sarcasm, all that. He has his realm. He has done wonderful things with the character on film, and he will do so again with this series. A different realm is the animated one, and somebody who has spent more time on the character than Ewan McGregor, in fact, has spent the most time of anybody on the character, is James Arnold Taylor. And while I have no doubt that Ewan would be great doing the voice for a series, it would seem to me almost disrespectful to James Arnold Taylor to kind of give him the boot for the bigger name. So I am totally fine as a fan of him if Ewan does do it. But personally, if I had to make the decision, I would stick with the one who does it. Like the one who, this is his thing. The animated series voice for Obi-Wan, it is James Arnold Taylor. That's almost like if you were to say, hey, can we take James Arnold Taylor and make him Obi-Wan for the animated, or for the Disney Plus series? I mean, it's a little different because you have the visuals to go with it, but the concept is the same of, let Ewan do that and let James do the voice. That's how it is.
That's fair enough. What did you think about, though, when they replaced him for Rebels? I don't remember if we talked about that or not.
Ian McDiarmid and Sam Witwer?
No, they replaced James Arnold Taylor in Rebels with Steven Stanton for Obi-Wan, for older Obi-Wan.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We've been doing this podcast for a long time now.
Yeah, it's been not that. We're a couple months.
Free Last Jedi.
We're a couple months from 4 years.
Good God.
We started right after The Force Awakens. It was January of 2016.
We last longer than a lot of relationships.
Yeah. It's true.
You and I are like common law now, right?
Sure, let's go with it.
All right, man. It's a death to us part.
We need to figure out what our actual anniversary is then. Actually, yeah, I know it's January 2016, but...
Okay, well...
Anyway.
We changed quite a bit along the way, but we're still here.
We are. So, Steven Stanton, yeah, for the voice for the Rebels with the whole thing with Maul and all that. I'm okay with that because, I mean, he did a fantastic job. First off, yeah, for the record, I mean, it was fantastic. But regarding him versus James Arnold Taylor, once again, I think I'm cool with it because we're going back to a different version of Obi-Wan. Not that James Arnold Taylor couldn't do it. He would do fine. He would do great. But we're not going to get Alec Guinness to do it. And if Steven Stanton's sitting there going, hey, I can pretty much sound just like him, then sure, why not? Especially, earlier on in Rebels, didn't we have James Arnold Taylor doing a voice for a younger Obi-Wan hologram or something? I think.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. So they already got him for that, which is his version of the character. So I would, if they got James for old Obi-Wan, fine. But it's also fine to me that they got Steven Stanton, especially since he knocked it out of the park.
He's a good guy too. He really is. He engages with the fans. When I met both of them, to be honest, I met both James Arnold Taylor and Steven Stanton showed up at different lines. Uh-huh. James Arnold Taylor showed up for the overnight
lines.
James Arnold Taylor showed up for the overnight line for Celebration.
Yeah.
Steven Stanton showed up for the overnight line for D23. It was not for any other reason than the lines were different. It was far easier to engage with Steven Stanton than it was with James Arnold Taylor. But both went out of their way to engage with fans. It was really cool. You know, it's the one thing I do appreciate about a lot of these actors who are part of Star Wars is they appreciate being part of something. You know, they didn't come to ask for money to be in line. Right. They didn't want money to take, you know, because when you get in the actual convention hall, it costs money to take a picture with somebody. It costs money to get an autograph. Right. But, you know, both of them showed up and gave out autographs and took pictures and were just there, you know, to be part of it. And I appreciate that. I think that's fantastic. I mean, that's the sense of community, you know?
Well, like, Star Wars overall, the people involved with it are that way. You're looking at Mark Hamill, you know, I mean, not to be fair, because of a certain, you know, side of the fans, the not so pleasant side, I 100% get why he is not more involved than he is. But considering the way he could be, like, he's pretty involved for somebody at his level of importance to this franchise. Carrie Fisher was as well. Harrison Ford, not so much, but honestly, in comparison to what I would expect for him, especially toward the past few years, he has been more involved. Even going to a celebration, I don't know if I would have ever expected him to do that, you know? They're always involved, but what's really cool is when you get the ones who are less household names, but they mean a lot to us as fans, such as the Steven Stantons and James Arnold Taylors and all them. It's so cool because, like you said, it really does build not only the sense of community, but the relationship between fans and the artists behind the content. And that's a huge thing to have, because if you don't have that, they're going to potentially lose their motivation to be working on the content, which is not what the fans want. And I don't know, it's a good back and forth to build off of between for both parties.
Yeah, well, it is. Man, that trailer got me pumped.
I'm excited. And the thing is, again, I'm so focused on, recently on the movies where I'm like, hey, you know, start right now, get them once a week. And let's throw a Mandalorian in there in 2 weeks, too. That's awesome.
Well, what's funny is, you know, and everybody...
It's kind of sneaking up on us.
It is. I'm actually kind of surprised there's not a Marvel show right now that is going to be there with the... sort of with the... What is it? Christening of the network, so to speak.
Like the launch?
Yeah. The Mandalorian seems good enough to bring it. I don't know anybody who's like, I'm going to subscribe to that for High School Musical. There's got to be somebody. But I don't know.
Yeah, anybody. Me.
Well, are you there for Lady and the Tramp too?
Yeah, what is this Mandalorian thing again?
It's something about some Star Wars character that nobody likes.
Is that where, like, Troy and Gabriella go to that desert planet and start singing or something?
Who the hell is Troy and Gabriella? is that an actual name from?
Those were the main characters in High School Musical.
Oh my god! The fact that you know that, you just...
I am a younger person, okay? It was so popular when I was young.
God, man, wait till we're off the air. I got to dress again.
Well, I mean, hey, you know what? On that note, we have nothing else to get to. I'm curious.
Did you watch Resistance, by the way?
Yeah, I did.
What'd you think?
I'm all caught up. Well, like you said, it's good. At this point in the series, it's what I would have expected the entire thing to be like. So I didn't have much of a problem with it beforehand, but it just wasn't what I was thinking it was going to be. Now it is. So I'm liking where it's going. It's moving a little bit faster than I thought, too, because I was expecting them to still be in the era, like, leading up to The Force Awakens, but they're past that. They're in Last Jedi territory now.
Oh, they're past Last Jedi at this point, basically.
I mean, yeah, because that was only a couple of days, I guess, right?
Yeah. I mean, you've got them trained to be fighter pilots now. You've got them, you know, scavenging for food. You've got the cutting to, what's her name, with, you know, learning how to be an Imperial TIE pilot.
Tam, yeah.
Is interesting. Yeah, that's interesting. It's all like, this is good. It's good stuff.
The one thing that was annoying me recently was her kind of back and forth. I'm like... I mean, I get it for, like, the, you know, emotional development or whatever, but just for the animated series, I'm just like, okay, either she's good or she's bad. Just, like, commit to a storyline and develop it. But now that, yeah, she is kind of has more of a foothold in the First Order side of things, I'm back into it. I'm like, yeah, let's see how this goes.
Well, and the thing is kind of tough, you know, especially when you're watching this as, you know, sort of an independent viewer or whatever.
Yeah.
You're like, what person would still be with the First Order if this is what it's like?
Yeah.
You know, leave your person behind, the individual, and, you know, no person is worth, you know, saving. And it's like, boy, this is not what I signed up for. The average person would have moved on by now.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, you know what? Let's see. Next week, what will we have? You never know as far as, you know, new reports or store or leaks or whatnot, rumors. There's always that to talk about. But we'll have another Resistance. Potentially maybe some... Yeah?
Do you want to talk about Jesse's rumor real quick?
Sure.
I don't know if there's a certain website conversation that you and I are part of. What does Jesse say? He says the kid in red in Mando is a flashback. That's his opinion. And we're seeing him as parents when the Separatists attack due to the presence of super battle droids and a droid gunship. Was there super battle droids and a droid gunship?
I didn't notice. I mean, I only watched it the one time just now, but that's very possible.
If I get to see super battle droids again, I'll lose my stuff.
That would be awesome. It really would be. Like it really seems like battle droids in a
junk drawer either.
Yeah, well, this really seems like it's a series for the fans and not to develop the story. I mean, they'll do that too. But it seems like there's a lot. I mean, nothing against the movies or J.J. or Ryan or anything. I really don't mean that at all. But it seems like it's a priority for Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni to be fan-centric.
Well, it just feels like that they're all about the Easter eggs. They're all about the bringing the two trilogies together.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, obviously Dave Filoni loves both, but he was primarily involved you know, with the prequel trilogy. And Favreau,
right,
his main entrance into Star Wars was playing a character in the Clone Wars, in the prequel trilogy. So
right.
I'm certain there's a love that the both of them have for this. So anything you can do to just kind of, you know, push the unification of all of the characters, the creatures from the prequels and the sequels, or not the sequels necessarily, but the prequels and the original trilogy together, it just blends it better.
Yeah. Well, you know, and one kind of final thought about what you said, what Jesse was saying, that's very possible. This does kind of potentially lend itself to Mandalorian spoilery kind of thing. So if you don't want, potentially. So if you don't want to know that, this is your checkout. We're almost done anyway. But months ago, a while back, there was a rumored leak about the storyline that so far hasn't been shown wrong, to my knowledge. It could very well be true. That basically says the motivation for the story that drives the plot forward is that this Mandalorian is given the hit, so to speak. And it turns out that the person he's supposed to be taking out is a kid. And he ends up taking that kid under his wing, and instead of assassinating the kid, takes him and goes on the run, basically. So I could see this maybe being the kid that he's supposed to take out and ends up saving.
We've got two more episodes, potentially, or one and one half.
I don't know. One more.
Is it? I know we haven't really sat down to discuss it, but is it possible that you and I are going to just, for the first time, watch Mandalorian while we podcast?
I more or less said that last week. You might have been checked out, but yeah.
Do we want to? Do we not?
When we were finishing the live episode last week, I was talking to Drew and Joey and everybody who was there. And I suggested that. I'm like, hey, have you guys enjoyed this live experience, all this? And their feedback was positive, or they did enjoy listening to it and participating and all that. And I'm like, well, good, because if you like it, that's kind of what Mark and I had been talking about, where for The Mandalorian, when it gets released, potentially just doing a live episode as we watch it.
So everybody has to wait.
Huh?
Everybody has to wait.
For what?
Well, does it come out at 12:01 in the morning on Tuesday?
I would assume not.
Well, why?
I don't. Oh, that's true. I don't know.
Or even then, for Netflix, everything happens at 9:00 Pacific time the night before. So if a show is supposed to premiere on a Friday, we get it at 9:01 on a Thursday. So the question
is, that's annoying.
If they're right. Well, not for us.
Yeah, well, I get to see Rise of Skywalker early. Go on.
You get to see it, but I wouldn't watch it anyways. I don't really... Well, I probably would want to watch Mandalorian at 9 o'clock on a Thursday.
I guess we'll figure it out, whatever the time is. I would, too. I would, too. Yeah, if it's midnight... Although, well, okay. So, if they say, like, for a Friday episode... Is that 11:59 Friday? No, I guess it would be like 12:01 Friday morning, I guess, right? Right,
that would be and that would be 9:01 for me on Thursday, if it's Netflix style. Tough.
We'll figure it out, whatever it is.
All right, man.
All right, well, everybody, thanks for listening. We'll be back next time. Start your episode one watching here soon if you're going to do that sort of thing. And we're getting closer. We're already in the marathon. So we're getting closer, and Mandalorian's coming up here even sooner. So we'll be back next week to talk about all the happenings in Star Wars from now until then. And then the following week, we will have a new, not even new, we'll have the first live-action Star Wars TV show in existence to talk about, the pilot for that. It's going to be awesome. So stick around, and we'll be back next week. Thank you, Mark, and thank you, everybody, for listening.
Bye, everybody.